Welcome to Matt Besser's Thunderdome.
Folks, this is where we're going to get every week two different improv groups, and they're going to perform the long form called The Movie. Yes, it's a movie in 30 minutes. It's a very difficult form, and it's one of my favorites. We helped develop it, my group, The Family, with Del Close. It pretty much explains itself. It's a movie. They're going to get a song lyric as a suggestion, and then they're going to improvise for about 25 minutes. But the special thing about this show is you get to be involved because you're going to judge them. That's right. We're going to bring a little judgment into the world of improv, but it's a contest. It's a tournament of sorts. It's one-on-one. Two teams enter. One team stay. Listen to both, and then after you're done, you're going to go to the Earwolf Twitter, and we have a poll there, and you vote on one team or the other. One's called Red Box. They're going to be up first, and then the Criterion Collective, each doing 25 minutes, each form based on a single lyric, and from there, they try to find a genre, and then they improvise a movie. I'm not sure what else I can tell you. Enjoy the show.
Into the Thunderdome first, Red Box.
We are Red Fox, and we'd like to do a movie for him for you. Can we get a song? Wait, what is it?
Red Box.
Red Box.
Red Box. We're Red Box.
Hi, we're Red Box, and we would like to do a movie for him for you. Could we get a song lyric, please?
Your song lyric suggestion is, "The man on the radio won't leave me alone."
Ooh, the man on the radio won't leave me alone.
Over a black screen, we hear the sound of a radio dial turning. And the screen slowly fades from black into what looks like a 1960s police station. A police officer is turning the dials, and the radio starts shaking on his desk. We see him look concerned, confused, bewildered. A bead of sweat drops from his forehead, and we cut from there.
We're in Mission Control in Huntsville, Alabama. We're part of the NASA program here. We see a man in a vest with a buzz cut as he oversees a group of technicians around old CRT monitors. Everyone's drinking coffee and staring at a large map of the outer space in front of them.
Well, I don't know. What is it?
Well, I don't know. What do you think it is?
What about you, Reggie? What do you think it is?
And we cut from here to
a oil rig in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. There's a whole team of oil workers, and they're sweating and shoving pipes into fucking holes, and they're pulling on levers, and all of a sudden all this oil shoots up and starts spraying everywhere, and then it's all going all over the place.
Alert.
Alerts, like sirens are going off.
We cut to like a control area of the rig, and we see a middle-aged guy eating a sandwich in front of a pinup poster, and his eyes go big as saucers.
God damn it! You gotta be kidding me!
Get the shut-off valve!
All right, hold my sandwich!
It's a big sandwich!
I know! You gotta hold it! It's
too big!
You know how hard it is to get a sandwich out here!
You're too big!
Got it!
Suddenly the screen goes to black, and the title comes up. The Big Signal.
We cut to the first scene.
Well, I don't know whether it's a prankster or what, ma'am. I don't know what to tell you.
Quit fooling around with the radio, Johnson.
Nah, it's just the frequency won't stay put, goddammit.
We'll figure it out. Switch it to AM.
I've tried AM, I tried FM, I tried it in the PM, I tried everything. Had
she
it
loves
with this.
You. Yeah.
Damn it. Nobody likes that shit.
Sloop John B.
Closer.
That's not what your country can do for you.
Turn him off.
Yeah.
Officer, is there an officer on duty?
Yeah, that's...
Did y'all notice the radios are going weird? My radio in my car was going weird.
You know what? I had not noticed that. You know, I've been sitting here under a rock with my head up my asshole, and I had not noticed that.
He's being sarcastic. I don't know if you can tell.
I don't know if you could tell. Could you tell?
Well, I don't think I need that kind of attitude. I just was coming in to see if I could help because I tinker with radios.
Oh, look at this, Johnson. We got a tinkerer.
You're old man Bartlett, aren't you?
Yeah, that's
me. You tinker
me.
Out of your garage.
Yeah, that's true.
We hear about you all the time.
Oh, we zoom right into his eye, and we see this little red dot beeping over and over again. And we zoom back out.
Oh, my eye.
Yeah, oh, to hell with your eye. If you can fix my radio, we can talk about your eye. Now, I don't know what kind of tinker toys you play with or what kind of tools you need, but goddamn it, get this town back on a signal, and we got ourselves something to pay you about.
Well, that's what I came to talk about. I've never seen this sort of a radio play before. This is something weird is going on. I mean, even in my workshop, I can't make a frequency sound like this. It sounds like, now go along with me, it sounds like somebody from somewhere is trying to communicate.
His eye explodes.
Oh my goodness. Jesus Christ.
Mr. Bartlett.
Oh. Made a mess all over my crossword puzzle.
Oh, it was bound to happen.
We got to go see Doc Tompkins.
Does he work with amateur cyborgs?
We cut to the NASA installment in Alabama.
Mrs. Bloomington, we have a little problem with the monitors. There's something in it that, Rick and I can't identify, and we thought we'd bring it right to the top.
Well, is it a problem with the monitor? Is it a problem with something you see in the monitor?
Could I have some of that lemonade before we continue?
Yeah, well, dab your brow, will you?
I will. I'm just a little hot.
My, you are not to sweat in front of a lady like this.
I apologize.
Now, what are you seeing?
Well, it just seems to be like a floating little thing. You know the game Pong?
Like, what are you talking about?
Well,
like
it's
a tete-a-tete?
No, it's a game you can play. It's real new technology you play on the computers.
I've not seen it. You know I think technology shouldn't be in civilians' hands.
I apologize, Mrs. Blooming. I just want to know if we should contact the real official NASA places like Cape Canaveral.
Excuse me.
This stays in Huntsville.
Who just killed me?
Yes?
I'm one of the mathematicians from the colored wing of the... of NASA.
Say mathematicians?
Mathematicians.
Oh, yes.
And we was running some of the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And we think maybe we got some ideas on what this thing might be.
Well, come on in. And
I sure do appreciate you letting me come into this room.
You come on in. Now, you have some lemonade.
Oh.
Here you are.
Oh, thank you much, ma'am.
Oh,
appreciate
here's some trash for you to take out.
Not yet. Rick. Not yet. We gotta hear him out.
What's this guy doing in here?
He's a real mathematician.
Rick, he told us exactly what he was here for. Now, clean out your damn ears. What is it?
What is your name again?
Marvin.
Okay, Marvin.
Go on, Marvin.
Well, we done did the math on this, and we found out this thing head toward the Earth at an extreme rate of speed.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That.
There's always a but. It's slowing down.
Oh, it's a big rate of speed. But
Marvin, get to the part that's the most interesting.
Okay, that was it.
Okay.
But, normally asteroids don't slow down.
I see. So this is
whatever this object is slowing down.
Right, which is what you've already told me. Isn't that right, Curtis? That
yeah.
It was sort of floating.
Any words.
All right, I'll take the trash.
Sorry about that. How many of you are there in that wing?
In the colored wing?
Yeah.
52.
A lot. That's not a big space.
One for each state.
All right. Well, thank you, Marvin. Thank you, Marvin.
Two secret states, Marvin.
Mrs. Bloomington, we shouldn't.
We shouldn't talk about such things.
You don't tell me what I'd do, Curtis. Stays at Huntsville. I don't want this getting transferred to Houston. This is our floating thing that we've found on the screen.
Yes.
And I want it to become the Bloomington Blob.
Are we still having a drink tonight?
A Bloomington Blob?
I haven't seen it, but I just wanted to carry my name is my point, Curtis.
Of course, of course.
We cut to the oil rig. Ah!
We cut back to the police station.
Oh, God damn.
What'd you find out, Bartlett?
Well, I found out
that... Oh, by the way, you should get an eye patch. It's disturbing to see
circuits
coming.
I'm not ashamed of my... I hold.
It's not about shame or no shame, but do you realize how disgusting it is for the rest of us to be subjected to looking into that damn well of blood?
I don't know. It's rude of you to socket shame me.
Oh, Jesus.
I need an airflow. I can't cover it up. The doctor said it will get infected that way, and then what do you want me to have a bunch of pus and maggots?
Why would
I
want that? Name one reason why I would want that. Now, you know what?
You're sick. Fuck.
We've already wasted enough time.
All right.
Here.
All right. We're just going to look at your chin while you talk.
Okay. So I was looking through some of my files. And
as he talks, the camera pans over to the radio, which is still shaking. One of the knobs on the side kind of pops out, and then a knob on the other side pops out and sort of form kind of arms. And then two little speaker wires shoot out of the bottom, forming legs, and the radio stands up on two legs.
And so I still ultimately have no clue what's going on.
Excuse me. Well, hello.
Whoa!
Hello.
That radio's talking.
How are you doing? Yes. How are you doing? I just don't know exactly how I'm communicating. I'm from a planet up in space.
You sound like London? You're from Liverpool.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm embodying this device right now, and I'd like to speak to your president, please.
What in the Lord's name of hell is going on here?
What'd you do, Bartlett?
I don't know.
Oh, you're the Bartlett?
I may have, when my eye exploded, it may have given the sufficient amount of charge to transmogrify the radio into this robot we see.
Mr. Bartlett! Sorry, I know you told me to wait in your van, but a bunch of other stuff in there is coming alive!
Oh, Jenny, you're not supposed to come in here.
Sorry.
You're too young for this.
Sorry, just a bunch of other stuff in your car is walking around.
Oh, cheeky one that is, huh?
Johnson.
Your imagination has run away with you.
I think we better call the president.
Let's call the president.
The president of the town?
No,
what
I think the president of...
What the hell do you think?
Washington, D.C. It's a stormy day in the swamp of Washington, D.C. as water pitter-patters against the windows of the Oval Office. President Gerald Ford? John F. Kennedy? President John F. Kennedy sits at his desk looking at nudie magazines.
A Chiron reads, John F. Kennedy, president.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one here. This is a good one here.
Mr. President, we have a delegate from Minnesota here who's been talking to you.
Okay, all right. This is my personal time, but...
We have a delegate from Minnesota.
Hello, great to meet you.
Great to meet you, sir. You can go
John
ahead.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, okay. I'm Representative Olson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can keep looking at your magazine while we talk. I don't mind.
You don't mind?
No.
Thanks. It's just, you know, it's... I'm at work all the time, basically, being president. And
yeah,
I never
it's
got to
be
get
a hard job. Sure.
Rocks off. And,
yeah.
So I just, you know, I'm going to try to get it in, you know.
Look, if,
it's a new issue, and, you know, I'm a collector.
Okay.
I'm a collector.
Yeah. If you don't mind me saying, I'm the chair of the science committee over at the Congress, of course.
Oh,
and we got reports from Huntsville, the main chapter of NASA. And they're talking about some asteroid that's slowing at a peculiar rate.
Wait, we, a slow asteroid?
While they talk, we pan over to the magazine, and one of the arms pops out of the magazine from one of the ladies. Another arm pops out of the binders from the spine of the magazine.
Hello.
Oh, jeez.
Cheeky meeting you here.
Whoa.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can see you, too.
Well,
oh, boy.
It's been a while since I've been seen in these parts.
We cut to the oil rig. We cut back to the White House, and now the sheriff and the little robot radio plus the two characters have also joined the White House.
And the Chiron says President John F. Kennedy.
Oh, so what we're saying John F. Kennedy. I'm John F. Kennedy, and you're a robot?
Well, we're all both from space.
That's right.
Cheeky.
Can't you tell from the accent?
Mm.
Well, it definitely sounds alien.
sir, they asked to talk to you, so we brought them straight here. Hopefully you can figure this mess out.
Okay, now tell me what's going on, robots.
We've come to study your land, really. I don't know.
That's right.
I mean,
we were, you know, a little bit bored. We're from a peaceful realm, and
Well, why did you leave your realm and to come see Earth? You wouldn't be kind of, you know, checking us out to take over Earth.
Oh,
No.
This is just a small shortage of food, I would say. Just we're going to learn.
A wee bit of, we need some grains and some minerals and...
Just to borrow, just to give back.
We'll give them back.
Mr. President, I don't think you should be rubbing the shoulders of that magazine robot.
No, it feels quite nice, actually.
Oh, you like it?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, if she likes it, you know, I mean.
I didn't at first, but now I've settled in. And while you're feeling in a generous sort of mood, I guess something we need to tell you is that now we are on course to destroy a planet.
Yes, I don't want to be too forward on this one.
Yes, it's a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
This is going to be a real problem in our negotiations.
Yeah, but it won't be a problem if you give us all your food and resources, is the thing.
Yes.
See, that's what we wanted to check out.
Yes. Get out. Get out right now.
Oh, gosh.
Get out. Well, we're going to shoot their ship or asteroid or whatever it is out of the sky.
We don't know if we can do that, sir.
Well, we can now. I'm the president, damn it, and I have a button here, and I'm very excited to shoot it.
Don't touch that one.
We
cut to the colored wing of the...
All right, guys. Well, here's the deal. I went in there and I told them what we found out. Well, it appears maybe they already knew about it. But I'm not sure, though, if they was really taking what I had to say seriously, because they handed me this bag of trash.
They wouldn't, of course. Yeah.
You know how they do.
Marvin. Marvin.
What is it?
It's me.
It's Miss Bloomington.
It's me, the boss.
Oh, Bloomington. Oh, sorry. Wow, are you coming all the way down here?
Yes, we need you. We need you. We need you in your mind. We need you out in the back in the booth. No, just Marvin.
Just me?
Yeah, just Marvin.
Okay, all right.
What about me? Ronnie.
No,
Ronnie.
Not you, just Marvin.
Ronnie, ain't nobody need you, Ronnie.
Ronnie, here's the trash. Ronnie, take this trash.
You take the trash out, Ronnie.
I'm a math.
Sorry about that. All right, I'll come with you, Miss Boss Lady.
Marvin, the thing is Washington's just called and they want to blow up my namesake unless we can figure out a different way to get rid of these... aliens, whatever they are, that want to take over our planet. And I thought maybe you and I, over a bourbon, might be able to figure something out.
Look, white lady, I'm not going to have sex with you if that's what you're trying
to do. No, why not? Come on.
Because I know how this game goes.
Wait, please.
I have a bourbon, I have sex with you. You feel bad about it. You tell them that I raped you and then I get hung outside of NASA.
Marvin.
I know how this goes.
You think that's how it goes? Me, a learned science woman?
Exactly. Especially you, the learned science woman. You're the one that
Marvin,
would do this.
Please, just have one little bourbon with me, please.
Oh, all right. I have one bourbon, but that is it.
So how are you?
I'm a little stressed out.
Yeah, me too. It's so hard working here.
Oh, that feels nice on my shoulders.
Look. Close in on their bourbon glasses clinking, and then we do a match cut to two more bourbon glasses clinking, and it's President John F. Kennedy. Again, a Chiron tells us that with the magazine robot in his private quarters.
JFK is the name.
It means nothing, really. I wish it did. It seems important to you.
You don't recognize JFK.
It doesn't ring any bells, well, no.
Check out the movie sometime. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to sort of segue and say what does ring bells is that my people are starving. It is quite,
Right. Well, I mean, they're going to be dead soon because we're about to blow you guys out of the air.
Right, that's the thing you keep coming back to, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
We got a missile pointed right at you, and I got the trigger here.
Do you know
it looks
how
like
big
a button, though.
We inhabit an asteroid that we are able to, control, and we are driving it towards your planet. And do you know how big that is? Do you know how big an asteroid is that we can control that it is?
But I don't know. Bigger than a bread box? I don't know.
It's bigger than a bread box.
Oh, okay.
Imagine if the bread box was Neptune.
Huh. John F. Kennedy is slowly taking his pants off.
Yeah, keep talking.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's bigger than Neptune.
Ooh, is
and
it?
And it's headed for your planet.
Are we still talking about your asteroid? Are we talking about something else?
What are you talking about? When you say asteroid, you wink. What does that mean?
Look, around here I'm known as the sexy president. Okay? And people come into this office, they come in here for one thing. Or, well, sometimes other stuff. But sometimes it's, you know, sexy stuff.
We cut to the office just outside of the Oval Office, and the Minnesota delegate is massaging the shoulders of the Liverpudlian robot radio. That feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, does it? Yeah. My wife likes this.
Yeah. You into me?
Huh?
You into me?
What do you mean by that?
You into me?
Oh, you mean like sexually?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever you're into, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
We cut back to the Oval Office.
And that's my butt. That's it.
I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't realize that's what you meant by sex.
Yeah.
I would have agreed a lot sooner.
Sure. But anyway, let's not let that cloud our relationship. I still consider you guys the enemy. And
yeah, right,
I'm
course,
ready to
course, yeah.
blow you out of the atmosphere.
Okay, right. I see where that's going.
So
then.
Either you can leave now that I've had my way with you,
okay.
or
just to be clear,
yourself dead.
Just get back to the radio robot and the Minnesota delegate, and they're smoking a cigarette naked.
Oh, yeah, it's a little. It's good to have a fag with you.
You mean cigarette?
Yeah. What did you mean?
Nothing.
We cut to the oil rig.
We cut to the freeway, and Marvin and Mrs. Bloomington. Mrs. Bloomington is driving, and Marvin is in her arms as they drive, as they speed towards Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
they
that's
both have
right.
a glass of bourbon.
You just lay in my lap
see,
while I
dangerous
drive.
It's dangerous to be driving fast by drinking bourbons.
Oh, Marvin, we might all be dead in a few moments. What will it matter?
Glug, glug, glug. Drink it up.
We cut to a pickup truck on a highway, and Little Jenny and the old tinkerer are speeding their way towards where they think the asteroid might
About
land.
15 British robots clank around the back of the van.
I told you, mister, your toaster. Everything was coming to life.
Oh, my God. I was going to take this to the Goodwill, but I guess it still works.
No, we got to get over
to
NASA.
Back in the car with Marvin and his boss. Look. They're driving down the same highway directly towards the other
Oh,
van.
Now, what is this? Oh, my, that pickup seems to be full of a lot of scrap metal.
Say,
why are you speeding up? Whoa, what?
Hello. Top of the morning.
Good day to ya.
Suddenly, both trucks crash into
side
each
to
other.
Side.
Oh, no!
Call me Marvin.
Oh. Jenny, are you okay?
Oh. I don't think there's much time for me, but please save these robots and us. I think we have more in common than we have not in common.
With the hand, she dies.
Hand springs out of the toaster and suffocates her for the final.
Hey!
Oh. It's better if she goes now.
Oh.
A third hand comes out of Bartlett's chest.
Oh, my chest!
Wipes away his own tears with this cyborg hand.
Wow, why would you burst through my chest just to wipe my tears?
Sorry, I was handing you a tissue.
And a shadow comes over them, one person by another person by a third, and suddenly the shadow has enveloped the whole screen. We pan up and see that the sun is being blocked out by a giant asteroid. And we cut to the Pentagon, where a bunch of footsteps of male shoes are walking down a white, shiny hallway.
See all the medals on people's chests and people typing into computers and letters and maps showing up on
General, general,
screens.
General.
General.
Colonel.
General.
General.
General. General. General. Sergeant. General.
Some reports say it's an asteroid. Others say it's a ship of some kind. I don't know what to think.
I've heard it's both.
We just got this video from our closed circuit television in the Oval Office. It's the president fucking a magazine.
Oh no, he's been compromised.
Yeah. Let's see the video.
Yeah, let's watch the whole video.
Okay. They cut to 15 minutes later.
Oh my god. I'm ashamed but also proud.
Wow. Lieutenant. General. Colonel.
Just then, Mrs. Bloomington and Marvin burst in. They're covered in bandages. They're bleeding. They've broken limbs. They've got two glasses of bourbon.
Who are you? What are you doing in here?
I'm the head of NASA in Huntsville, and this is my one true love.
Hello.
This man is your one true love?
That's right, and he's got an idea for how to stop this, don't you, Marvin?
All right, I'll take any idea at this point.
All right, well, if we can just turn the power off in the United States, it'll stop all the robots and everything will be fine.
Shut down the power grid for the entire
United States. The switch to turn off the power.
He's right. They're using our power against us. They're using our electricity. We just cut off the source and they won't be able to inhabit our air.
Because, you know, when I wanted to decide that I loved this woman, in my mind, I had to turn off the power.
Yeah, he got there through a metaphor in his own life, not mathematics.
Hold it!
Everybody turns, and there's 20 men covered in oil who have burst into the Pentagon. They've got a rage in them that everyone can see.
And the man leading them is a young Gerald Ford.
Hello, hold it. If someone's going to turn off the power to this country, it's going to be me.
He steps forward and puts his hand on the giant switch and pulls it.
Our long national nightmare is now over.
Oh, he puts the power. The magazine falls limp next to naked JFK. The toaster and radio fall down next to the Minnesotan. All the robots in the van all die. The asteroid disintegrates.
The Minnesota delegate is just naked in the office next to the Oval Office. Very confused.
Oh, what do I do now?
John F. Kennedy Jr. peeks out from behind the desk. Oh, boy!
Mr. President!
And we fade to black.
To JFK.
Hey, thank you guys. We've been Red Box.
All right, there's Red Box, some of UCB's finest. And now, some more. Welcome, humans, ladies, and gentlemen everywhere, the Criterion Collective.
Hey guys, we are Criterion Collective. We're going to be performing the movie. All we need to get started is the suggestion of a song lyric.
Your song lyric suggestion is, I could spit on a stranger.
I could spit on a stranger.
Top of the Empire State Building. Sunset. A woman waits, staring out over New York City, clutching her jacket. There's a wind, a chill through the air. She looks out over the expanse of Manhattan wistfully, wistfully.
If no one loves me now, no one ever will.
An old security guard that patrols the area stares at the woman. He plays with his big gray mustache as he watches her, wondering, what is she doing here? What does she want?
Excuse me, could you take our picture?
We see a young little girl with her happy family. They're from out of town. They wear sweaters that say Ohio on it. She looks up and hands the woman her camera.
Lady, could you take our picture, lady?
Sure, little girl. I guess I have time for one more picture.
She snaps the photo. A flash. Match cut that flash. To street level, New York City. There's a soup kitchen. A man ladling soup into a bowl for a long line of people out of doors.
And there you go, John. And you have a great day, okay?
Hey, thanks.
Oh, boy.
This man has sweat coming from his brow and a tired look, but also a rugged look as well, as if he's seen a lot and he's got a big heart.
He looks like a guy who loses a lot of roles to Ben Affleck.
He's got a name tag on his volunteer uniform that says Marsh. His name is Marsh.
We see the woman from before, from the Empire State Building, slowly walking by the soup kitchen, almost in a daze, as she makes her way through the streets of New York.
The camera goes in a slight slow-mo as Marsh looks up from his line at the soup kitchen. Does she see him back? She kind of gazes into the window, but it's not quite clear. He goes back to serving person after person, surrounded by people, but completely lonely.
It's the moment where he's looking out the window, but he's not paying attention to anything. He's doing soup spilling all over that he's ladling continuously into one big bowl as people watch him.
We cut to a graveyard later that day. We see Marsh laying flowers at the foot of a grave.
Oh, Karen. What did I do so wrong?
An old man walks up to him, one of the grave greensmen.
This old man has a mustache that is twice as big as the old man that was watching the woman on the Empire State Building.
Almost like it's a competition.
He strokes it, and he's thinking, what is he doing here?
Sir, what are you doing here?
Sorry. I'm just saying hi to my wife. Sorry, nothing.
Romantic music starts to play.
It's a cover of the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby.
Marsh has laid down a picnic blanket, a wicker basket, two glasses, a bottle of wine, two sandwiches.
We pan up to the sky where we see the title of our film, Moving On.
Where do they all belong? Dun, 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 dun.
We cut back to the Empire State Building.
Hey, miss.
Yeah.
You okay over there?
I'm fine. I just wanted to come up here to look at the stars.
We're about to close, so I need to escort you out of here.
I understand.
Excuse me, before you go, hi.
The picture. Yes.
You've been holding our camera for a while. We've been posing over here.
We would really love it if you could take our family picture.
Right. I'm sorry. I just have so many thoughts. You see, it's been a really hard day.
Also, I could do it.
Oh.
I'm a security guy. I can do it, too.
No.
Ladies have a better eye for photography, I've learned.
It's because of my mustache, huh?
All right. Well, I'm competing in the Queen's mustache competition this upcoming Saturday, all right? Jeez. All right.
Oh, let's take his picture instead. Mommy, Daddy, can we take his picture?
Yeah, can we take his picture?
Can we take his picture instead?
Okay, yeah.
Hey, miss, you mind taking a picture?
Oh, sure. I apologize for that.
The woman struggles to hold the two phones that she's now been handed to take the group photo. Look, if everybody's getting a picture, you know, I would love a picture of myself as well. It looks like you're taking a lot of photos here today.
Oh, I guess I am. You see, I came up here to be alone and to think about my life.
Oh, that you picked a really weird place to come to be alone, lady. there's a lot of people up here.
I guess.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm a window washer here, and it's my last day. Could you take a photo of me on my last day washing the windows of the Empire State Building? Here, just it's kind of an old, bigger phone.
The phones keep piling and piling on her
small... Hello, we've just gotten engaged. Can you take a picture of us, please?
Oh, my God. Goodness, is that a rotary phone?
Yes.
Well, I just got a haircut and I'd love a photo. Do you mind if you could take a photo of us, please?
Okay. I came up here to jump off the building. Could you take a picture of me before I jump off the building?
Oh my God.
She drops all of the phones on the floor.
Oh, what are you doing? You're breaking my
phone. My phone.
The camera just shows splatter of technology, chips.
It's in slow motion, and it's done so beautifully that this shot must have taken hours and hours and hours to execute.
The glass, and each piece of glass flies in just the slowest motion and lands very perfectly and beautifully as strings play. She rushes from the scene and actually takes the stairs all the way down.
I can't.
Camera
I can't.
Tilts down to the shards of glass and broken protective screens from the phones, and we match that to a broken plate that has dropped in the soup kitchen.
Oh, geez. Oh, Tyler, that's okay. That's okay. Just pick
sorry
that up.
About that, Marsh.
No problem. No problem. Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
All right, here you go.
Just about to jump off the Empire State Building, but I came back for some soup.
Well, I'm glad you're here, okay? Yeah, it's good to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you, too.
Boy, what a day, huh, Tyler? It's a busy one, isn't it?
Hey, Marsh, can I speak to you for a second?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're doing great work. Really fantastic work here at the soup kitchen.
Oh, thank you.
Once again, for the
This guy looks like a college Republican who is going to a conference. He's got a great suit on, and he looks well-meaning, but he means business, too.
He looks like he lost a lot of roles to Armie Hammer.
You're doing fantastic work. You're doing great here. We really love it. For the seventh week in a row, though, however, we're not going to be able to pay you. So are you okay with that?
Yeah, I've still got
thanks,
some.
Babe. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, I'm leaving. I'm heading out.
Great.
Just hold down the fort. Thank you so much. You're doing a great job.
No, yeah, thank
we
you.
We see this man exit. It's suddenly a hot 6 foot tall model comes out of nowhere. He puts his arm around her and they walk out of the
Barbie, let's go.
Okay.
Close in on poor Marsh. He's had a long day and pace not working out for him as he puts his apron back up on the sad, lonely coat rack filled with other people's woolen coats and heads out of the soup kitchen. It's a busy New York street. People keep jostling him and bumping him.
Out of the way!
I'm trying.
I'm walking
here. Hey, man,
we're
all walking listen to my CD. Listen to my CD.
Okay.
Listen to my CD.
You like comedy? You like comedy?
No.
But do you like comedy?
No.
Oh.
Do you like CDs?
Yes.
Have you heard of the good Lord Jesus Christ?
Oh, God, I think.
Out of the crowd, then all of a sudden, the crowd seems to part like Moses parting the sea. And he sees on the very center of that line is that woman who was at the top of the Empire State Building.
Above her, the sun is perfectly in between two skyscrapers and just shining right on her.
In this moment, we just know her name is Jennifer.
She's holding a somebody's iPhone and like twirling it around, unable to find the camera button to take their picture. She's lost and confused and doesn't want to be there.
But right before Marsh can say hello, a man pops in front of his head. Hey, do you like comedy about Jesus Christ?
I don't know. Maybe. What? Sure, let's hear
it. Come to a Christian comedy show.
Oh, God. Okay, fine. I will.
Really?
I guess if I have to, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He shoves two tickets to the Christian comedy show into his hand.
I have never successfully handed off to
on the ticket, it says, the Christian Kings of Comedy.
And the
it's three white men.
dressed like the three kings that brought.
We got everybody. We got Kevin James.
Oh, wow.
We got Bill Engvall.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, the incomparable Jeff Dunham.
Oh. Jeff Dunham has two puppets that are a sheep and a
burning bush.
Yeah. A burning bush, yeah.
Yeah, I'll come to the show if I can find someone to take. Thank you.
As he moves out of the way, there's an empty space where Jennifer had been with the telephone. We cut back to his face. He's a bit sullen. He felt something.
Mm. Oh,
there's classical, stupid. Faint classical music playing in the background. And then it mixes with the cacophony of New York City streets.
I'm walking here.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Away.
Okay. In a way, the city is music.
All of that
dumb.
Cacophony is cut, and we see a tranquil day out on the grave.
Karen.
It's so pretty
it's
out, on
morning out on the grave.
on the grave.
So here I am once again out on the grave.
Gorgeous.
I miss you. God, I miss you, Karen. I just feel like I could have done so much more. I still have some money from the settlement when that big old Walmart truck bowled you over there.
We see a reverse shot of the headstone that reads, Karen Marsh, mother, wife, beautiful spirit.
At the bottom of it, it says, graciously paid for by Walmart.
They're not paying me too much of that soup kitchen. I don't have money. Who cares? I'm having a harder time moving on, if I'm being honest.
The groundskeeper with the huge mustache waddles up from behind a tree.
Excuse me.
Huh?
What are you doing out here on the grave?
Oh, I'm just on the grave to say hi to my wife or my ex-wife. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's nothing.
Is your wife buried alive in the cemetery?
No, of course not. She was hip. I misspoke.
How are you saying hi to her?
I misspoke. I felt like I made that. When I immediately said, sorry, forget it, you know.
Oh, she's dead, but you're speaking to
I'm
her.
I'm talking to my.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Is that odd? It feels like that happens all the time on the grave.
I feel like I'm constantly surprised every day by what I see here on the grave. I was just checking to see that you weren't vandalizing anything.
Oh, I didn't realize. There was going to be somebody on the grave. I thought I was going to be alone.
Who are you?
Oh, I...
Her name's Jennifer.
Just then, music swells up. Birds from the trees fly out.
But 15 people run up to Jennifer and grab her by her arm to take her to another grave. Can you take her picture in front of our great-grandmother's grave?
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a family reunion.
It's her death anniversary, please.
I like you're seeking
it's what
me
she
out.
Would have okay. wanted.
I was going to kill myself
Not
by this grave.
In the first place. I've never been able to hold the camera.
My name's Marsh.
We just got engaged. Take a picture of us, please.
Here, yeah, you guys could take my golf cart. You could ride it to the other grave as far away
yes,
from here as
our
possible.
Our grave is on the other side of this cemetery.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I don't know, Karen. It feels like maybe it's not meant to be, but I feel ready to move on. That girl, she's just so enchanting. I want to date her.
Which
have
girl?
Her take
which
my
girl?
Picture.
Jennifer? You want Jennifer?
Yeah, Jennifer. I'm not talking
Sorry,
to you.
Should I have left?
The groundskeeper's leaning, leaning on their tombstone.
Don't you have a mustache competition to prepare
yeah,
for?
Yeah, I got
or something?
The queen's mustache competition to prepare
Okay, well, go get ready for well, it.
First, can I give you a piece of advice?
Yes.
Okay. I, too, had a wife. And she, too, died in a Walmart truck crash.
Okay.
It's going around. I mean, it happened to Tracy Morgan and his friends. Anyway, I want to encourage you to not sit around waiting for the rest of your life to begin, okay? Get out there. Look at the serendipity that you experienced today running into that woman, Jennifer, before I gave her my golf cart so she could get as far away from you as possible.
Do you have another... golf cart that
I
you
don't
use?
No, but I would encourage you to chase that serendipity. Chase that coincidence.
Is there maybe a bicycle that I could quickly?
I have no idea. Mm. I don't even know.
If I jogged, would I catch up in time?
Yeah, you might.
A montage of Marsh looking everywhere frantically for Jennifer.
Always in a hot jog.
All over Manhattan.
There's a soft acoustic cover of the Beatles' Help, just done really softly.
and he's so he begins on the grave. He searches everywhere, and just she's always just out of reach. She's hopped into a limousine and joined a parade of hearses, a funeral brigade.
Come to this cop's funeral, lady.
It's clear she doesn't want to be there. No, please, I don't want to do any more funerals. I just want to get back to being on the grave.
Later, we see him pacing. We cut to him in the same spot on the street where he had seen her earlier, just kind of standing there, hoping, offering to take people's pictures.
Can I take a photo for you? I'll take
fuck you.
No,
buddy, what are you? No. Some kind of creep?
No, I'm not a creep. I'm just trying to find a woman that I barely know, and I thought this would be the best way to do it.
This fucking city. I hate this city.
You could take my picture.
And suddenly the crowds part and the sun is shining just so as Jennifer and Marsh stand just inches apart from each other. I mean, they could really reach out and touch each other if they wanted to. Nothing is standing in their way from realizing their romantic potential.
The wind is blowing in a way that their hair is moving and their clothes are shivering to showcase the tension that they have between the two.
This is crazy, but I don't know how, but I knew your name. My name's Marsh.
I know.
You knew my name too?
I've seen you around.
I'm going to a Christian comedy show later. I have an extra ticket.
I don't know. I haven't allowed myself to have any fun for a while because I carry a dark secret, but okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I love Christian comedy just as much as the next person.
We cut to the Christian comedy concert.
It's the Christian Comedy Cellar in New York City. This is where all the toughest Christian comics come to get their chops up.
Bust
each other's balls in a God-friendly way.
A shot of Marsh and Jennifer walking in. Marsh is a complete gentleman and takes her coat and gestures for her to sit. And
on the wall behind them is the headshots of every single Christian comedian all doing the prayer hands. And they look they're all white.
There are four headshots of Carrot Top.
Yeah.
They all have that circle, that Jesus circle behind their heads. Yeah.
You know, they say every once in a while Jeff Foxworthy pops in.
Oh, really?
He did a 6-hour set once.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That must have been so much of the same sentence of being a redneck over and over.
Yeah, I've got to assume so.
Wow.
Can I take your picture?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I made that offer earlier, but then I think we got distracted by birds and the seas parting.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure feels like that when I'm around you. Here.
He reaches out, frames her up.
Excuse me, can I get to either of you a water or some other non-alcoholic beverage?
Oh, my good Marion Heaven.
This is going to be hard to decide.
There it is. Yeah. Well, take a look. We have an assortment of juices.
Oh, boy.
We also have an assortment of milks.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oat milk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A cashew milk as well. I might recommend tonight if you're interested.
Let's do two cashew milks.
Great. And any appetizers for either of you?
I guess we'll just get the calamari.
Yeah.
The lights go down. The show begins.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Pete Holmes.
Wow, he's laughing a lot. He must be fun.
Don't I look like a youth pastor?
Yeah. Praise God.
That's so true.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
It's unintimidating.
I hate to start on a serious note, but I gotta say, I read something crazy in the paper. What's up with Walmart trucks killing so many people?
The camera starts to slowly push in on Marsh as this bit continues. It gets more and more elaborate.
It's crazy. It's out of control.
The camera actually starts pushing in on Jennifer as well, and it comes back and forth between Marsh and Jennifer. Jennifer starts to sweat.
It makes you wonder, who's driving these things? I mean, blind lady behind
he's so
the
approachable. Oh,
no. This speaks to my Christian values.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard, but I think I look like lesbian Val Kilmer. Have I said that?
Just then, we see Marsh slams the rest of his milk, and he goes, "I'm sorry, I have to go.
This has been really fun." And they both take off out of their seats and run.
We cut to the outside of the Christian Comedy Cellar as they're running up the stairs, and they break off and run in opposite directions.
But as soon as they move in opposite directions, they meet up once again, and they continuously run away from each other and meet up and run away.
And you see, it's almost as if the wind is sort of pushing them together.
Sorry, I have to go. I just can't.
I'm sorry. I have to go, too. And you're around this corner.
At that moment, the wind pushes them so strongly that they bump together. Their lips meet, and it's a beautiful, majestic moment. There's an orchestral song, cover of Across the Universe by the Beatles.
Night birds that are flying out in the same way as doves do, but they're not doves. They're birds that fly at night.
As the camera pulls out, we realize that they've stopped in front of the American Legion Hall in Queens, where the Queen's Mustache Competition has been taking place. They were just about to announce the winner, but everyone in the place turned to look out the window at these two lovers.
Tracking shot across the window as everybody watching has some degree of a luscious mustache. Yeah.
They're like all shaped and like incredible. This one looks like a bird.
A night bird.
Yeah, a night bird.
There's one that looks like Noah's Ark.
One
that looks like the Kremlin one. As they move past it.
There's one that looks like a finger with a mustache drawn on it.
One of the mustache wearers looks out the window at the couple. Hey, wait a second. Look at those two with their lips all on each other. You guys seeing this? You guys seeing this?
Yeah, we're seeing it.
The groundskeeper and the... Hey, wait a minute. I recognize that woman from the news.
I recognize that woman from the Empire State Building.
Wasn't she the driver of that Walmart truck that crashed?
At the same time, we cut right back to the couple. I drove the truck.
What?
I drove the truck that killed your wife.
And the winner of the 2018...
Hold on, they're having a moment.
Shut up over here.
2 seconds.
Insensitive asshole.
Sorry. I'm very eager. Having information that no one else has.
Your mustache is unraveling, all right?
Okay. We see a flurry of emotions going through Marsh's head. Anger, confusion.
I don't know.
Love.
Maybe, though.
Forgiveness.
Well, I guess it couldn't have been her fault.
And I've never felt good about myself since, and I can never forgive myself.
Just then, the wind picks up again and sort of forms a tiny tornado. And then the sun hits it in a way, very small.
Oh, my God.
And then it forms in a way, the light hits, the moonlight hits. And you almost see Karen's face in the wind. The wind starts speaking. Marsh, it's me.
It kind of looks like that cloud from The Lion King when Mufasa is speaking to Simba.
It was I that put you two together.
But Karen, how can I? It just doesn't, if you under, all the emotions, and I'm mad, but I'm in love, but I'm happy, I don't know.
Marsh, I love you. I will always love you. But you can't keep living in the past. You have to keep moving on. I want you to meet this Jennifer. She didn't know what she was doing. All right? She's a good Christian woman with good Christian values.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
You've lost touch of your spirituality. When you lost me, you were mad at God.
Marsh is just staring up at the sky silently.
What's that guy looking at over here?
You're right.
Every mustache contestant.
No question about it.
Close in on the mustache contestants' faces. They're clear. They're moved by the speech. Oh,
okay. Tears in mustaches.
Tears are falling right.
They're wringing
the
out their mustache.
I can't tell if I want to kill myself for good or live forever.
We cut back to Marsh. He's finally realized what he must do.
I forgive you. It wasn't your fault. Anyone could have been drinking that day.
I didn't say I was drinking. I was in bad
Whoa, driving. That's a bombshell. What?
Shut up. Let her have their moment.
Look.
Holding this envelope is so stressful.
I don't know what this is going to be, but I know it's something, and I need to follow it. Can I take your picture?
He does a selfie, kisses her, snap.
In the background, we see the envelope being handed to the winner of the mustache competition.
We see it's...
It's the guy who keeps wanting to kill himself.
Oh, my God. This is incredible.
And we see that his mustache is in the shape of the Holy Bible.
It slowly fades to black, directed by Kirk Cameron.
Repeating, you'll never fall in love. And everything.
Written by every Christian ever. And you can
seem to get it. Now available
an acoustic version of Let My Love Open the Door.
My love open the door. My love open the door.
Your love
open the door.
Let God's love.
There it is.
That was it.
We did it. We made a movie.
All right, humans. For now, this is on Earwolf Presents, and that's where you have found this. And now you're going to go to Earwolf Twitter and vote. There's a simple poll there. Redbox or Criterion Collective? Which one did you like better? And they survive. They go to the next round, and they play someone else. So this is a tournament. This is Thunderdome. You get to give your opinion. Be active. Be part of this. Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like. And the Thunderdome tournament continues.
Dale, y'all!
This is Tony Rodriguez.
This is Carlos Santos.
This is Raiza Licea.
And this is Oscar Montoya.
When our powers combine, we are
Spanish Aquí Presents.
We have a brand new podcast here on Earwolf, bringing you the best of the best of lo mejor of the Latinx comedy.
Join us every Tuesday as we chat about what's going on in our lives, Latinx culture, and ¿qué es lo que?
Lo que nos está picando.
Lo que te pica. Don't worry, we'll tell you what that means if you listen.
We'll also be joined by a new guest every single week. We'll get to know a little bit more about their lives.
Every single week.
Uh-huh. And then we'll make them sit back and watch us improvise their lives right back to them.
Improvisation. Spanish Aquí Presents premieres July 16th. Subscribe now in Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you listen.
O donde sea.
Spanish Aquí Presents.